Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Keith Pompey from Philly.com. Keith, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Now, I assume you were there post-game as well, talking to coaches, talking to players. What really jumped out to me from the get-go, from the opening tip, was the fact that Markelle Fultz was, I assume, coached into playing more of his natural position, with his, which is point guard. Was that part of the game plan going into it?
Yeah, it was. And, also because, Furkan Korkmaz was playing, they wanted him to play the three, and Timothy Luwalu slid down from the three to the two. So, yeah, it was to give him the ball, but also to, make the matchup fit with the three guards.
Mm-hmm. And, Keith, I'm thinking of the future, and, of course, we're just watching guys kind of get their feet wet with their first pro experience. I mean, unless you're Dante Exum, who's playing above everybody else last night. But really, getting back to Fultz, you're looking at a guy that I'm always thinking about, okay, well, how's it going to work with Simmons? And in that fourth quarter, that seemed to be a guy that did not want the ball out of his hands. Again, scoring 13 of his 23 in that fourth quarter. In the future, looking at preseason, looking at the regular season when it starts up, How do you see all that kind of coming together with Simmons running that point position with him?
I think it'll work well. I mean, and I do get your point, but I think it'll work well. I mean, it's also, I think that, since this is the summer league, so to speak, and he looks around, he's trying to win the game. He knows that he's, the best player on the team, and he has to step up and produce that, he needs the ball. But I also think that when he's on the floor with Ben Simmons or, J.J. Redick or someone like that, there's going to be a point where, he knows when to pick his spots. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he knows that Ben can take it and Ben can get to the lane quicker than he can, he'll let Ben do it. I don't see that being a problem because, it was one of those things. They said he was that type of player in high school. Mm-hmm. In high school, he was that type of player, like in the AAU. Last year was the only year that he basically was on a team where there wasn't any other talent. You know what I mean? So he had to be that type of player. So, I think it'll work out fine.
Looking at some things you were saying post-game, kind of what was his demeanor after the game? Because, like you even said, he really wanted to win this game. You could certainly tell that in the final quarter.
And you know what? It's funny. Like, his tone, never changes. It's like, when they lose, when they win, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, I mean, this guy, I'm not saying that he lacks emotion, but he just doesn't, he just doesn't change. I mean, and you even look at it, like, if you ever watch him play, if a guy makes a great play, he just runs back down and plays defense. If he loses the ball, he just runs back down and plays defense. So it's kind of like the same thing, like, after the game. He just, hey, I really wanted to win, he doesn't say much.
Yeah, now looking at some other guys that are trying to make this team, one of the guys I've been really impressed with is Jonah Bolden, who's playing over in Serbia, comes over and is a second-round draft pick of the Sixers, and offensively seems to be a guy that wants to play a finesse game, but defensively is all about getting after the basketball.
Yeah, I really like him. I mean, and the thing about it is because when he came over here, we all, let's keep it real. A lot of people didn't know about this guy. At least I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, his, second-round pick playing over there. I mean, I knew that he played at UCLA, but I didn't follow his game closely last year. So all I'm hearing is that, he's a great three-point shooter. He's a stretch four. He's this, he's that. But his shot really hasn't been falling. But he still has, left the imprint on the game on the defensive end. So to me, that says a lot. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where, if your shot isn't falling, what else can you do to affect the game? You know what I mean? And he's like stepping up defensively. So, I'm really impressed with him because let's keep it real. They're not going to look for him if he makes the roster. Whenever he comes over, they're not really going to look for him to say, all right, Jonas, you need to lead us in scoring. You know, they're going to look for him to be an energy guy, a solid defender, you know, and just have a great all-around game. And I think that, you know, these first two games that he played, even though his shot wasn't, you know, up to par, he still was effective on the defensive end.
We're talking to Keith Pompey, Philly.com. A lot of people, Keith, were all excited about Furkan Korkmaz coming over. I mean, it blew up Twitter for a little bit there. And then I'm watching the game last night, and I know it was his first game, but underwhelmed. What did you think about his performance?
Yeah, it was one that I think that he wished that he would have performed a whole lot, you know, better. And he wouldn't use the excuse that, I traveled, from Turkey to Philly, from Philly, you know, to Utah. You know, it was like 17 hours on a plane. He wouldn't use that as an excuse. But to me, it just looks like that, you know, he has to adjust to the speed of the game, the pace of the game. You know, getting the shot off is going to be a little bit tougher than what he thought. And if you notice, okay, I went to shoot around, and I was seeing him shoot at the end of the shoot around. And I'm telling y'all, it was great shots. I mean, the stuff was like, wow. And then this game, it was more or less, you know, he would, like, rush his shot a little bit. You know what I mean? So I think that he will get better. I just think that he just has to adjust to this game. You know, this is completely different than what he, you know, was used to overseas.
Keith, last thing for you. A couple of the players, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, of course, they've have a little back and forth going with LaVar Ball. Insult for insult, if you will. What do you make of the whole LaVar Ball versus Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid thing going on?
You know what, man? I know I'm a reporter and I'm supposed to keep up with it, but I really try not to, like, focus on it. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to give you an example. So we're at the draft, right? And LaVar Ball, he's kind of, like, you know, quiet, you know, not saying anything. You know, and then at the end of it, like, he tells all his kids to exit one way. And then he pauses and then, like, walks past the Sixers fans and, like, the other fans. And he's, like, waving his hand and this and that, inciting the crowd. And I'm just like, this guy is just playing everybody. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, it's like, you know how you have your little sister and you're sitting at the kitchen table and your mom is like, she keeps like, na 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 na, and you're like, Mom, you better say something to her. And your mom's like, come on, leave her alone. Don't worry about it. That's your little sister. But you're getting frustrated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's just laughing at you. So it's like, you know, I try not to pay attention to that, because I think what he's doing is he's just bringing people down. You know, he's just coaxing people, just getting them frustrated. That's all.
Yeah, and for a lot of people that didn't think it was going to affect the game, it seems to affect the game when you do have guys like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons wanting Markelle Fultz to dunk on Lonzo Ball, to take it to him, to make him cry so daddy has to come running on the floor, and really go back as far as Steve Kerr, and this is back in April, talking about how he's not setting a good tone for his son even before he becomes a professional. So that part of the game, it seems like it has affected it already.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny, though. Because, you know, it has affected it, but at the same time, it's like the more you talk about somebody, the more that you empower that guy. I mean, again, like I'm telling y'all, like he was cool, calm, collective, and then next thing you know, he walked past the crowd, and then, you know, people got hyped. And then I think he made like $4 million last year. So the marketing thing is that's what he's doing. It's like
he's doing it well.
I know.
I said he's doing it well, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, you know, it's one of these things where him and Lonzo, it's one of those things where, okay, look, man, I'm about to go in this room, right? And Lonzo's like, yeah. He says, okay, I'm going to act like this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. You say nothing. You say nothing. I'm going to act like a fool. You say nothing. And when we walk out, everybody's going to hate me, but then they're going to look at what I'm saying, and people are going to say, wow, I feel sorry for Lonzo. I mean, it's like, I just feel like the guy is just playing people. That's all.
Well, that's certainly what it seems like. Keith Pompey, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, thank you so much for taking some time out to join us today. You're still in Utah now?
Yeah.
Don't sound so enthusiastic about it.
Tell us about Utah. Come on. How much fun is Utah?
It's pretty out here. It's
beautiful. That's all he can say.
It's nice scenery.
Wow.
But I will say, y'all did say something. They do have some rabid fans, though. I mean, believe it or not,
I do want to ask you about that, about Hayward. You know, because we always, we had talked a little bit about it yesterday, building the right with the Jazz were building towards something. And then he just kind of walks away and goes for the Celtics. I mean, how upset are they out there?
You know, it's weird. It's like you get some people who are like, wow, we lost another one. You know, and they're disappointed. But then there's other people who were being straight up saying, dude, this is Utah. It's like, we can't keep people here. You know, it was kind of like it wasn't that much, you know, unexpected. You know what I mean? When you factor in, you know, this was people telling me. They said when you factor in that was his college coach, you know, the Celtics really wanted him, the history. You know, and they just don't feel like that, you know, they're a good team, but they just don't feel like they can make a run far enough to get to the championship. And then with the nightlife and everything, you know, a couple of people are thinking like, yeah, he'll eat. You know, yeah, it makes sense. So, you know.
The nightlife.
He means I just
can't wrap my head around.
Well, no, just a thing. It's enjoyable things to do. Things to do. It's a young man.
Yeah,
it's
hanging out till like 10 o'clock and stuff.
And he's not a Mormon.
So, I mean, right? No.
So I mean, it's like when you have young athletes in a city, and you don't have anything to do, and they go somewhere else, and they offer them a lot of money and some history, and a coach that they coach you in college, and an awesome nightlife.
Yeah. It's not a bad mix if you're an athlete. No, you would know more than I, Hollis, of course. But that's a fear I have about the Sixers. But Keith Pompey, thank you so much for taking some time out and joining us all the way from very pretty Utah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.